David Hawkins is editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call Daily Briefing. He's covered Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995. Why, I knew you when you were a pup, David. Now you're the editor. Incredible.
Always nice to be remembered as a pup.
So let me start by asking you about, you know, general impressions as to what happened in both houses of Congress. Because, you know, the night we did the election coverage with you, we certainly didn't give you your due in terms of time. But now here you are, the editor of the publication that covers the Congress. And I'm fascinated by what you think the election results ended up meaning.
Oh, well, they ended up meaning that the more radical Tea Party Republicans got their wings just a little bit clipped, but not clipped enough so that they haven't really lost their fight. Mm-hmm. And as we speak now, it seems as though that crowd is going to make life miserable for the leadership for the rest of this so-called lame duck session.
Interesting. You know, we have a congresswoman from our area, Nan Hayworth, and she got beaten, you know, pretty badly here. We've had her on our regular programming cycle in Congressional Corner, which you're on right now, a lot. What happened to the few folks who lost? And they did lose some seats in the House.
Well, right. I would say that, and you're going to correct me if I'm wrong, I sure hope, but some of that was the coincidence of these Tea Party freshmen being elected right before redistricting, uh-huh. and the Democrats having the power in some states to re-engineer things to make life pretty difficult for the ones who were, you know, furthest outside sort of the mainstream.
I wouldn't correct you, David.
You wouldn't say that about Nan Hayworth.
No, because what happened in New York, it's interesting.
The courts
That's right. That's right. Since the federal courts did it, you got what were called fair fights, which you almost right. never get when one-party legislators do that kind of thing. I think it may have been a combination myself of the Obama steamroller in New York State, but also that she was a bit too conservative for the district.
Right. I mean, that part of the Hudson Valley is sort of has a tradition of electing centrists, right? This was it's sort of, part of this was where Ham Fish came from, I think.
Yeah, some of it was Maurice Hinchey, some of it was Ham Fish. You know, you'll remember that Hinchey retired from Congress, which was sort of seen by Ed Koch, who I don't always agree with and certainly didn't hear, as basically God providing for so that they didn't have to, because New York State lost a couple of districts.
Right.
I chided him on it, and he took it very personally, as usual. But I don't care. You know, he's older, but he still has to watch
right.
his words.
So to the extent that there were, for every fair fight that redistricting created in New York, very unfair fights were created in both North Carolina and Illinois, to cite just two examples. One, Illinois, run by the where the system was run by the Democrats to get rid of five Republicans, and they got rid of, I think, four of them. And North Carolina, where the map was redrawn by the Republicans to get rid of at least five Democrats, and they got rid of, I think, four of them. So this was a chance to once again, you and I talked about this when you and I first started talking on the radio several years ago, and you know this
when you were
a pup. When yeah. I was a pup or a middle-aged or, a whelping or whatever they call an adolescent dog. With each time they redraw the map, they make the lines more often than not gerrymandered to make sure that one party or the other gets elected. I haven't seen the final results yet, but I'm looking at some maps here which suggest to me, just as I look at them visually, that there are probably going to be fewer districts than ever that split their tickets.
Interesting.
I haven't counted them up yet. I'm not sure anybody has, but of the 435 districts, I think the last time only something like 70 of the districts voted for one guy for president and elected somebody from the other party to the House, I'm guessing that number is going to be smaller this time.
That is fascinating. You know, our governor here, Andrew Cuomo, ran for office on this very issue. I mean, it was one of his major issues, which was that he would insist on a commission that would do this fairly. And
right.
when he became governor, he forgot about that. I try to remind him.
We do know Andrew Cuomo down here in Washington.
Well, he's asking for $42
billion.
And also, David Hawkins, you recognize that Mike Bloomberg did come down and ask for the money.
He absolutely did, and he got somewhere. I mean, when Mike Bloomberg walks the halls of Congress, people pay attention.
Yep.
He spent all day on Wednesday visiting with sort of touching all the bases in the congressional leadership. Essentially, the big issue for hurricane relief, which between the $42 billion that New York wants and the $37 billion that New Jersey wants, and we're talking about, you know, significant amount of money by any standard, big enough that it could actually influence the so-called fiscal cliff talks.
Exactly.
And so the big issue here is, are they just going to do what they've done in the past and allow this money to be sort of run up on the government credit card, which is the way the Republicans would put it, or must it be offset by spending cuts to some other programs? That's a somewhat insignificant question when you're talking about a little storm that might do, $5 billion in damage. But once you get up to $80 billion, is almost 5% of the total amount of discretionary spending that the government's doing this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of money.
Now, talk to me about the fiscal cliff for a moment. Does it occur to anybody? I worry about this a lot. You know, you build another nuclear submarine, which could be $1 billion, something like that. Does anybody ever think that it's a good idea to cut down on military spending because we just don't need that big an establishment? Or is it just that, as Eisenhower said, we got in bed with the military-industrial complex and now we can't get out?
No, I think that deep spending cuts to the military are coming. I think a spending cut of the magnitude that is being talked about in this so-called sequestration fiscal cliff debate is going to end up happening. But what the sequestration, which is the fancy word for across-the-board cuts, means across-the-board cuts, which means that every Pentagon program would be hit more or less equally. And that, say the Pentagon planners, is a bad way to do business, that they should be allowed to pick winners and losers among the defense, the weapons programs that they've got and the military installations that they've got and the research programs that they do. And so they would just as soon... And they're going to be forced to make those kinds of cuts, just more in a more organized and
sure,
purposeful and way. But defense cuts on the order of 5 or 10% are coming.
David Hawkins, we always love to talk to you. And when we come back the next time, because I can never get enough David Hawkins talk, when we come back the next time, I want to talk to you about that fiscal cliff again. Okay.
Yes, sir.